you don't mind parking further away, your knees have a different opinion. Time to call Joint Relief Institute. Fast, safe, FDA approved, covered by Medicare, 708-888-0000.
The author of a new book called End of the Road, Inside the War on Truckers. It's really interesting. I was reading it over the weekend, and we hear a lot about the problems you have with truckers, pedestrian drivers, but we're going to hear now about what the story is from the trucker's point of view. And of course, this is the most critical link in our supply chain, whether it's grocery stores, gas stations, Amazon delivery vans. We depend on the folks who drive the trucks. And Gord McGill is a third generation trucker. He has spent 25 years trucking all over the world and writing about it. His book is fascinating, and he joins us now to talk about it. Gord, good to have you on the broadcast. You know, when I was a kid, my dad would always tell me, hey, those truck drivers, they're the best drivers and the best people on the road. But lately, that image has been tarnished a little bit, hasn't it?
You know, it would be so good to go back to having that well-earned reputation of the past for me and my fellow drivers. But as I lay out in my book, sir, and thank you for having me, we are slowly being displaced by economic forces and political decisions and regulatory frameworks which favor insourced labor and soon, perhaps, robots.
Yeah, we want to get to all of that. And, of course, lately, the big problem, the cost of diesel fuel, that's a headache for you now, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, and that's only going to get worse. We've seen this crazy attack by the forces in Ukraine against Russian oil production facilities around the Sea of Azov, and they've attacked over a couple of dozen Russian tankers. We have this problem in Iran with the Straits of Hormuz that just doesn't seem to get resolved, and the worldwide energy markets are just not helping truckers out at all.
Gord, you know, we hear from truckers here in the morning, and we also hear from a lot of drivers who have their own complaints, but the truckers always talk to us about the way people drive today, which drives them nuts. Is that the case with you?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is, you know, there's always been a sort of small percentage of drivers who are not very good at it and maybe ill-considered and not very thoughtful in how they operate their vehicles. That's a problem as old as cars themselves. However, it has increased as of late due to just sort of the increase in population, the presence of so many illegals and migrants from the rest of the world who, you know, do not share America's sort of convivial and cooperative driving culture and are not required to learn it before they're handed car licenses, much less truck licenses. There's been a whole lot of news here lately. You know, this trooper was killed in Pennsylvania a little while back. This young soccer star, Toby in Ohio, was killed by an illegal migrant from Uzbekistan. There's a whole network of these ethnic enclave trucking companies all over the country, especially in your backyard in Chicago, and they play fast and loose with the rules. They backdoor ELDs. They don't operate safely. They're not here to do things the way American truckers in the standards they operate by, and they're just making a mess for everyone.
There's something about your profession. It's a lifestyle. As you say in your book, you could probably make more money in fewer hours without spending weeks away from home doing something else. But there's something about trucking, isn't there? What attracted you to it at first?
Well, I've always enjoyed travel. You know, my dad was a trucker. My uncles were a trucker. My grandpa was a trucker. You know, you have to sort of have an adventurous spirit and the right sort of frame of mind to be successful at this job. That's always been thus. And I've just always had a bit of wanderlust. And, you know, you mentioned at the top there, I've driven around the world. I didn't let the oceans get in my way. I figured out work visas for countries like Australia and New Zealand, where I both speak English, and I showed up with tons of experience having already driven here. Mm-hmm. I didn't show up as a fake refugee claimant or asylum seeker and go to a truck driving school paid for by the taxpayer with money laundered through NGOs and nonprofits who seek to displace the locals. And I understood the idea of a temporary work visa, and I left when that visa was up.
Yeah.
And
you have your views on all of this, and I want to get to what you think about the problems truckers are facing today. You've got the robo trucks coming in. There are problems with the hiring of drivers, the way these companies are operating. And
yes.
If you hang on a minute, we will let you speak your piece. It's Gord McGill, author of End of the Road, Inside the War on Truckers.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
End of the Road, Inside the War on Truckers. Gord McGill has been driving trucks everywhere for a long time. He's got some pretty interesting views. Some might say they're a little harsh, that you're trying to blame all the truckers' problems on immigrants. But you have problems with a lot of things, don't you, including the training the truckers get. Talk about that.
Right. Yeah. No, thanks, Bob. I do have some pointed criticisms of the displacement of American drivers, but this is just the latest iteration of a decades-long problem. And as I outline in the book, you may have heard a phrase, the truck driver shortage,
mm-hmm.
Which started to become popular in the late 1980s. And that phrase was a creation out of thin air and a misdirection from other problems that downstream of its deregulation in 1980 under the Motor Carrier Act of 1980. And what that did was it allowed the largest players or kind of trucking associations, which is a corporate lobby group in D.C., and they use that to finance their own CDL schools and training programs so as to keep the churn and retention problem going. But they had their problem is that they couldn't keep them because nobody wanted to improve pay or benefits or the material conditions of the job, and so they just kept recycling people. And this paradigm of using migrant labor, it's just, like I say, it's just the latest version of a decades-long problem of the trucking industry not wanting to clean up its own mess.
Talk about robo-trucks. I want to get to that before we run out of time here. The main selling feature is they are safer. I'm sure you have a different opinion.
Well, the problem is the marketing of these things. The autonomous truck system developers talk about something called virtual miles in order to prove the supposed safety claims they're making. But virtual miles are essentially testing programs run inside of computers and not on the highway. The autonomous systems developers do have their trucks deployed in Texas and other parts of the Sun Belt, and they are testing them. But the number of miles they claim to have been doing in those testing is vastly, like the number of virtual miles versus actual real miles is vastly, it's just a humongous disparity. And, you know, look at what's going on with the cars, right? Like Waymo recently had to pull 4,000 of their cars off the road because they kept driving through construction zones without slowing down. California has a whole website dedicated to tracking the incidents that these robotic taxis are involved with. And they don't tell you that part. They try and make it sound like, you know, humans are bad. There are certain human drivers who aren't very good at it, but that can be mitigated, and we can train people better. The problem is the autonomous systems developers and their investors don't believe in people anymore, and one of the only ways they're able to sell this is by claiming that they're somehow safer than people, and that's not in evidence.
I didn't realize how much you guys are surveyed electronically driving trucks. There are driver-facing cameras. You're also working with electronic logging devices. It seems that you're, if you want to use the term, spied on, we can, more than anybody else in any other profession, except perhaps the police.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. They started imposing sort of Qualcomm communication systems in the late 1980s and early 90s on trucks. And, you know, originally they were just a sort of a communications tool, and they monitored the location of the truck and engine performance. But later on, they became sort of systems of surveillance. And again, we get back to this problem of trucking having a retention problem and not keeping good drivers around. I mean, there are good drivers, and there are still some good trucking companies to work for. They are in the minority. But there's this belief that, like, they don't want to develop skill and competency and honor it properly. And because they keep putting in new people who make more mistakes, like rookie drivers, that's just the sort of the nature of the beast. If you know less and have less experience, you're more likely to be involved in collisions and other incidents. And therefore, they feel they need to track all those people. The problem is they don't, like, stop tracking you or give you less tracking technology in the truck if you're experienced. They treat everybody the same. And that's just not how humans operate. Like, if you're good at something and you have honor and skill and a decades-long record like mine of never being involved in a collision and making safe deliveries, like, why on earth do I want a driver-facing camera looking at me or some state-mandated monitoring device, you know, obliterating my Fourth Amendment rights? Like, that's just not happening.
I keep seeing stories and reading about these companies that hire truck drivers. I guess it's a subcontractor, and so it's not maybe the name of the company on the side of the truck that is making sure there's a good driver behind the wheel, but it's a subcontractor who may not have very high standards. Talk about that. What's the deal on that?
Yeah, so this model of subcontracting the operation of the truck and the ownership of the truck itself has gone through a bunch of different iterations. The latest one that's most germane today is Power Only. This system was originally developed by FedEx, where they subcontracted out the ownership and the driving of the truck to pull FedEx's freight in their trailers. Fair enough, lots of people made money at it, and it was fine. But in the decades since, certain large companies such as Amazon have found this a very effective cost downloading and accountability buffering mechanism. If you see a 53-foot blue Amazon trailer hauling Amazon freight between their sorting centers and distribution centers, 90% of the time the truck pulling it is owned by some kind of, you know, for lack of a better word, ethnic gangster organization from God knows where. The drivers are in the United States, either of dubious legality, or, you know, they got some kind of fake employment authorization document under the Biden administration. They went to one of these crappy truck driving schools that advertises in their own language and only teach people 1 week. We will get you your CDL in 1 week. How is this possible? Why are all these people on our roads? It's cost downloading to save Jeff Bezos and other companies money, and now the big trucking companies are getting in on it. You go on the website for guys like J.B. Hunt or Werner or Knight Swift, and the first thing on their website is say, lease on with us on our Power Only board. So they're basically trying to get out of the business of even owning trucks at all and subcontracting everything out and just having the same model as FedEx or Amazon.
Well, let me tell you something. Your book, it's eye-opening. It is admittedly one person's view, and Gordon McGill has strong opinions. End of the Road, Inside the War on Truckers. Listen, I just hope we can be safe. Everything can be delivered efficiently and without added expense to everybody, and maybe we can get back to those days when my dad would always tell me, he'd point to a truck and say, whoever's driving that truck, watch them. They know how to drive, and also they know the best places to stop for food. I hope we can get back to that, Gordon. That'd be nice. Thanks.
Yeah, God willing. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for talking about it this morning. Appreciate it.